This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Boston City Council took a first tentative step into the debate over the proposed 19% salary increase for city firefighters today. Councilors read an independent analysis from an MIT labor relations expert. They cogitated and discussed, and then they acted by deciding to send the contract for further study. Outside the council chamber, firefighter union president Ed Kelly said there's nothing left to study.
This city can afford our contract. This is about the mayor bullying the firefighters, boxing the city council through public manipulation and perception. And, we play by the rules. We deserve to be treated fairly, and we're confident that the city council sees it that way.
But nothing's resolved just yet. In a moment, we'll be joined by the City Council President, Mike Ross, as well as former City Councilor Bruce Bowling. But first, here to bring us up to speed on City Council deliberations today is WBUR's Fred Tice. He was at City Hall this afternoon. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Meghna.
So the Council's been taking a lot of heat from all sides over this issue on the firefighters' contract. So what was the mood at the hearing today?
Well, my feeling was that the City Councilors obviously agree that they don't have to study anymore. They just have to make up their minds about where they're going to come down on this contract. And clearly, they don't want to displease the firefighters. They want to be fair to them. And at the same time, they want to be fair to the city, which is cutting back libraries and doing a lot of other things. But
no one's saying just yet how they're going to vote. They are kind of pushing off that decision for a little while.
They are for now. A couple of people have spoken up. City Councilor Michael Ross says the public outrage over the arbitration agreement is palpable, and he has asked for the firefighters to make concessions. City Councilor Mark Siomo stood up and said he agreed with the City Council President. And then City Councilor Chuck Turner came out and also agreed with Ross.
It's the appropriate thing for Local 718 and the mayor to go back to the table and bring us an agreement that is, in fact, within the framework of the 14% that were given to teachers and police for the contract years 2007 to 2010.
That's City Councilor Chuck Turner there saying that it should be appropriate for firefighters in the city to go back to the table. So he's one of the few who's actually said, as the current contract stands, that 19%, he would vote against it.
Absolutely. He says the city can't afford it. Now, Ed Kelly, the president of the Firefighters Union, has said that, yes, you know, he thinks obviously the city can afford it, but
Well, overall, obviously, there's been a lot of controversy this week and last week about the deal, so much so that, as we mentioned, Council President Ross asked for that independent review by an MIT labor relations expert, Thomas Kochan. What came of that review?
So the report came out today, and one of the things that Ross brought out in the City Council meeting today was that, in the end, it doesn't really matter whether the City Council votes up or down on this thing. The dispute between the firefighters and the city is just not going to end. You know, clearly, the mayor, the firefighters, they're never going to be able to come to an agreement. They're going to be stuck in litigation for years. That was the pessimistic conclusion.
Mm-hmm. And I also believe that, in addition, the report cited that the overall cost, when you take everything into account for basically what amounts to a five-year contract, including overtime, it will cost the city more than $70 million.
And, of course, the firefighters dispute that figure. They say it depends on whether you look at it over 5 years or 4 years. The City Council President, Michael Ross, says the firefighters are getting a 19% raise. The firefighters look at it as a 16% raise.
So still a lot of smoke and mirrors through this whole controversy. But as far as I understand, the arbitration is not binding on the council itself. They can actually reject it by rejecting to fund the contract. But Mayor Menino is bound by law to support the deal, even if he doesn't like it, which he does not. But he has submitted a plan on how he would pay for the deal if it stands.
And both sides are legally bound by the arbitration. Of course, the city's arguing that it cannot afford to pay for the contract. What something that head of the firefighters said today, Ed Kelly, was that when they were before the arbitration, the city submitted a brief back in March saying that it could afford this contract. In other words, in its legal documents, the city said it is in a position to pay for this contract. And Kelly is saying, well, you know, how come the mayor's coming back and saying he can't afford it now? It's obviously just about politics. It's not about whether the money is there or not.
So with it seems so little resolved and still all these unanswered questions, do we have a sense as to what the council will do next?
Well, the council is going to study this, or not study this, but hold a hearing within the next few weeks. They'll bring everybody in and listen to all sides. Ed Kelly, the head of the Firefighters Union, says he's got the votes on his side, and so he's confident that the council will approve the contract.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens. WBUR reporter Fred Tice, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Well, joining us now to discuss the firefighter contract is Mike Ross. He's president of the Boston City Council. Councilor Ross, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here. Good to see you, Magna.
So let me just ask you a question. In following the story, there's a lot of disputed numbers and claims. So let me just state clearly as I can, what Thomas Kokin from MIT has concluded in his report that he delivered to you yesterday and that we got a chance to look at today, that the best way to look at this firefighter's contract is basically looking at the cost over a five-year period, and that it will cost the city $74 million, and that it does basically amount to a 19% pay raise over 5 years. So given that conclusion from an independent analyst at MIT, do you now think the city can or can't afford this deal?
Well, I've said that I'd like to see the firefighters come back with significant concessions. And so as it stands now, I don't believe that we should support this deal. Can the city physically pay for this deal? Yes, it can. Is that the standard by which I'm looking at this? No, it's not. Is that the standard that the mayor might have to look at it? It might be, you know. But I will tell you that Chapter 589 that governs this left a valve for the Boston City Council or for a city council to essentially vote down the contract if they felt it was excessive. In the wisdom of John Dunlop, the great Harvard labor management expert, he wrote that into this law, and it's been acted upon in the past. Now, I don't think we need to act on that simply because it exists, but I think given where we are in history, and given what's happening across the country, where you have collective bargaining units all over the country making these mid-contract concessions on their own, sometimes with management, but in recognition to the near depression, at least recession, where we are right now, economically speaking, it is something that we might want to consider.
So does that mean that, I guess I'm just asking you clearly, as it stands, would you vote against this contract?
Yes, as it stands, I would. I believe that Ed Kelly, who I have said this to directly, is capable of recognizing that he's not alone in this, that it's not just about his members, but it's about our city, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring another voice into the conversation. He's Bruce Bowling. He's a former city councilor, and now he's executive director of the Massachusetts Alliance for Small Contractors. Mr. Bowling, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with your basic position. What do you make of where the city council finds itself in the middle of all of this huge ongoing contract controversy, and what would you do if you were still on the council?
Well, I think that this is a situation that's not of the council's making, number one. Number two, the city has a long history of being relatively generous to unions with regard to wage, salary increases, benefits over the years. And the city has done well for the most part. My concern here is that from what I can determine thus far, I believe that the arbitrator's decision was not fair and seemingly did not take into consideration the city's economic plight.
Mm-hmm.
That was not factored into his decision. The council is not bound by this arbitration. Council has to look at this within the context of its overall impact financially in terms of the city's finances. And to me, that is the overriding issue. Nobody wants to be opposed to arbitration per se, or be perceived as being characterized as anti-union or anything of that nature. But this is that is not the issue. The issue here is the city council's role and responsibility, and its major responsibility is budget oversight.
Mm-hmm. And actually, on that note, Mr. Bowling, I know that a number of people who also are concerned about this contract say that it's the long-term budget ramifications that they're worried about, especially with upcoming renegotiations of other union contracts for other city employees. Is that something also that you share? You share that concern?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the mayor has discussed and negotiated with other collective bargaining units throughout the city not to take wage increases. In fact, in many instances, there have been cuts in salaries to minimize the number of city workers who would be laid off. So unions have sacrificed for the greater good because of the financial plight the city is faced with. This is a situation where you have an arbitrator's decision that seemingly is not fair and just, and did not take into consideration the city's fiscal plight. The city council is not by law obligated to accept that arbitrator's ruling. If mm-hmm. the city council votes against this, then the principals go back to the negotiating table. What you have to look at here is this isn't simply the issue around the firefighters' contract. You've got other collective bargaining units that will be coming up that are going to be looking at this, and if this is adopted, everybody's going to be swinging for the fences. They're going to say, look, you asked us to take cuts before so that we our members wouldn't be laid off. We did that. Now you give this a significant increase to the firefighters, and we want the same thing.
So, but on the other hand,
set a precedent in terms of future bargaining going forward.
Mm-hmm. And point taken, Mr. Bowling, but on the other hand, I'm sure the firefighters look at it as it is just a subject about their contract, and the arbitrator may not necessarily feel like he is, bound to worry about the city's finances when it comes to actually negotiating at the table.
Well, I don't buy that argument at all. This is a public process.
Well, exactly, and the city council
of this city are outraged,
and that's where the responsibility of the city council comes in. And let me just turn right back to Council President Ross here. Let me ask you just one last question about what appeared in this independent analysis, if I could briefly. I mean, Thomas Kokin at MIT basically said that he feels that there were some other solutions, but that almost no matter what happens, the city and the firefighters may be headed towards litigation on this. So do you feel like there's anything the council can do within the upcoming vote that you say you're going to take eventually that can diffuse this situation and actually get the city and firefighters past this huge obstacle that we've been facing for 5 years now?
Absolutely. We can do what we do best, and that's bring in the parties, remove the emotion. But
that was what the arbitrator was supposed to have done.
Well, the arbitrator handed us something that has caused plenty of emotion in this city right now. But I think we have the ability to set a new course here. I'm not suggesting that we're going to reopen the package, but I am suggesting that it is within Ed Kelly's power to come back with a significant concession like Ann Arbor did, like Missoula, Montana did, like cities in New York and California, like Bostonians did here last year, as Bruce Bowling pointed out. 24 bargaining units agreed to a pay decrease. This is an unprecedented era of budget constraint among municipal budgets, and you're seeing municipal unions taking cuts. You're seeing them come to the table and say, this is our city, too. This is our fight, too. We're willing to work with you.
Well, Mike Ross, stick with us because after the break, we're going to hear a little bit more about some other work that you're doing with the city council. And I also want to thank, at the moment, Bruce Bowling, former city councilor. He now heads the Massachusetts Alliance for Small Contractors. Mr. Bowling, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Boston.
It's a pleasure. And just one very brief thing. The financial situation the city is faced with is going to be even more precarious going forward because there's been a number of federal grants, ARRA monies, et cetera, that are one-time funding that won't even be around next year. So you're talking about significant reductions in revenue that's going to complicate this even more going forward.
And that's something that we'd definitely like to take a look at in the coming weeks and months on Radio Boston. So we'd love to have you back, Mr. Bowling. Thank you so much for being with us. When we come back, Jeffrey Canada, he's creator of the Harlem Children's Zone. It's a far-reaching program that supports and nurtures kids from cradle to college. Mike Ross, council president, went down to New York to see what ideas he could bring back. Listeners, if you've heard of the Children's Zone, give us a call and tell us what you think. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We will be right back.